I'd like to ask you a question. Probably one of the most important questions anybody could really ask you. Although there are some pretty important questions like, will you marry me? You don't get that question very often, though. I mean, there are some other very important questions, but this question is the most important question. I'm pretty confident in that. I'd like to ask you this. If Jesus were to come tonight, would you be ready? Raise your hand, please. If Jesus were to come tonight, are you ready to meet Jesus? Would you raise your hand? You ready? A lot of you raising your hand, and about a third maybe not raising your hand. There could be different reasons for that. And I want to tell you today, right here, you got to know this. You cannot be wondering or doubting. You cannot be looking to yourself to measure up. You have to believe in the one who is altogether lovely and true. And that's going to be my message. That's really the one purpose. Three angels, but one purpose in the three angels' messages of Revelation 14. I hope today, by God's grace, you will see in the message of the three angels the righteousness of Christ as never before. Because it's really all about that. If you open your Bible, please, to Revelation chapter 1. There's a little introduction there. The first three verses. And I want to draw your attention to them. Revelation chapter 1. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation means a revealing of Him. A showing of Him. A revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. And it's the last book of the Bible. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants, things which must shortly take place. And He sent and signified it by His angel to His servant John, who bore witness to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. For the time is near. Do you believe that? I mean, this is important. This is not business as usual. Yet, it's so easy to just flow. And there are times where we need to just go with the flow in our lives. I know that. But then there are times that we have to take things a little more seriously. This message today is so deep. And for our guests who don't know much about Seventh-day Adventists, I apologize if I lose you. This is a deep sermon. Did I say it was deep? It's profound. The implications of, and it's not because of me, it's their message that's profound. The Bible is profound. The book of God is powerful. It's alive. We're going to see that today. You have to remember, the Bible is a whole. Yeah, it's individual parts written by individual people, 66 books, 40 authors, over a couple 1600 years or so. But the idea is it still has a unity that only God could put in it. And it's powerful. So we're going to see that unity today. And we're going to see the Christ of Revelation chapter 14 and the three angels' message. It's all about salvation by grace through Him. That's the one purpose of the three angels' messages. They want to proclaim to us that we are justified, justification by faith, and the righteousness of Christ. That's the bottom line if you peel back all the layers of all the three angels. And we're going to look at all three of them. The first one we're going to look at probably predominantly. We're going to spend more time on the first angel. Shorter time on the second angel. And probably about the same amount of time on the third angel as the second one. With some additional dynamics. But I've got 16 minutes after 12. How about we finish up at 12:45? It doesn't matter. That's what I want to hear. The patience of the saints. Amen. I love it. Well, we'll see how long it takes us. Amen. So here we go. Let's pray. Father God, we just praise you for your goodness and grace to us, for your patience with us. We know that we are not deserving of it. We know we're not deserving of your mercy and your grace, but we just claim our great need for Jesus. And thank you for providing him. And I pray that you would bless your people here today, that they will hear your word. They will hear this prophecy and catch it. And may it burn in our hearts with the righteousness and glory of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. The first angel, let's get right into it. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. This is Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. So the angel flying in the midst of heaven, right? Notice the angel is flying, which is kind of cool, right? Any of you want to be able to fly when you go to heaven? We're all going to fly when we go to heaven when Jesus comes, right? Having the everlasting gospel. This first angel having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth. The everlasting gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the good news to preach to everyone, every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. Everybody here needs to hear the gospel. Is everyone responsible for their response to the gospel? Yes. No one has an excuse. If they never hear the name Jesus, the Bible says the creation of God is a testimony that he existed. Amen. Yes. No one is without excuse. Nobody is without excuse. But we have an obligation to tell people about Jesus. These angels, this first angel is preaching the gospel. And that's imperative. He starts out with the good news of God's gift to us. And everything builds on this first angel. Three angels, one purpose. Saying, this angel says, with a loud voice, fear God. That doesn't mean turn around and be afraid of him. Run away from him, be scared of him. But it means be in awe of him. Be respectful of him. Don't be too casual with God all the time. Amen? Don't be afraid of him, but fear him for who he is. Fear God, and here's another one, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Glory to God. Give glory to God, not to you, not to anyone else, not to any man, not to any system, not to any institution. You give glory to God with your life. Give glory to God. Why? Worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the spring of water. This is the first angel's message, and the second angel builds on it, and the third angel builds on it. Here's why. The hour of God's judgment has come, right? Now, we mentioned last week, if you remember, and I'm not going to review this, but you remember the sanctuary. Hello? Sanctuary? The earthly sanctuary. It was made as an example, or a replica, a pattern of the heavenly sanctuary. And I want you to notice that the sanctuary had three different phases to it, or compartments. They had the sacrificial dynamic, they had the intercession dynamic, and also then the cleansing or the atonement dynamic. Now, that first part happened when they took the lamb and the lamb was sacrificed in the court and the blood sprinkled on the altar here. And then you had the intercessory dynamic where the priest would wash in the laver before he went into the most holy place and he would offer prayers to the saints. He would offer God, people's prayers to God. He would stand as a mediator between man and God. That's what priest meant. Are you with me so far? It's important to catch this because it all points to Jesus. And it all points to judgment. And it all points to salvation in Christ and Christ alone. And I'll show you why. Oh, excuse me. And the third part, I didn't mention the third part. The third part is the actual atonement. Now, I want you to catch this. This is important. The atonement dynamic happened once a year, as we will see a couple slides. The priest went in and he offered the blood of the goat that was offered. Once a year, special time, he went into the most holy place. What is in the most holy place? The Ark of the... Anybody seen the movie? Huh? Well, some of the stuff is true about the Ark of the Covenant. The power, you know, God, there was an interesting dynamic, and I don't have time to get into that. But there was an Ark of the Covenant. It's real. And something very important was inside the Ark of the Covenant. What was it? The Ten Commandments, the law of God. There were some other things in there as well, objects. But it was the law of God that was preeminent in the Ark of the Covenant. And that's very important because you notice you have the Day of Atonement, which is the cleansing of the sanctuary, typifies the cleansing of the sanctuary in heaven. So you have that once a year, that happening in there because of the sins of the people, the law of God. So you have connected judgment, atonement, cleansing of sin, and the law of God. That's imperative. What's on top of the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant? See right here? The mercy seat. There are cherubim. There's the mercy seat. Mercy. Because see, you and I, we are sinners. And that doesn't excuse it. It just, we have to face the reality. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. We are in need of salvation. We cannot save ourselves. And that is the whole message of Revelation 14, 6 through 12. That God has made a provision for everyone to be saved. The first angel's message is what? The gospel. That Jesus came and he died. That's what this is all about. And the hour of his judgment is come. So what this typified, what this was an example for, what this illustrated, was this day when the judgment would begin in heaven. Where? In heaven. And God would minister. Jesus would minister his atoning blood for you and for me. I told you it was going to be deep. That's all in the first angel's message. Worship him. That's where you get the Ten Commandments. That's where you get the fourth commandment. Worship me. What? Who made the heavens and the earth. Revelation 14:7. Now, how do I make that link? Well, the Bible makes that link. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Let me show you. This might benefit our guests who are here today especially. I'm going to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. And by the way, the Ten Commandments are all predicated on what God had done for the children of Israel. Because I've led you out of bondage. Because I've taken you out of bondage with a strong hand and outstretched arm. I want you to obey me. I want you to love me and follow me. I want you to keep my commandments. Verse 8. Watch. The Bible itself makes this connection. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You nor your son nor your daughter. Nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who's within your gates. Why? Because In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all is in them, and rested the Sabbath, seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That's why in Revelation chapter 14, let's go back. It says, we got to go back to it. And worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. That goes right back to the concept of obeying God's commandments, and specifically the fourth commandment, keeping the Sabbath day holy. That's what's being alluded to by this first angel when it talks about and worship him. And worship him. You see, a lot of people are worshiping their own ideas, their own concepts, and not what God says in his book. They're getting ideas from other people, doing other things, and they're not comparing it or testing it or analyzing it by this. And you may be sincere, but you can be sincerely lost. I told you it's deep. I told you it's serious. Do you think I'm making think I'm stretching this? It's right there. You see, here it goes. Here's why I'm saying what I'm saying. The second angel, what does the second angel do? Notice the idea is worship. I have to just flip by these slides. There's no sanctuary. That's an imperative. The Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement. I have these slides in. For on that day, that is the Day of Atonement, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you. We're going to get to the second angel in just a second. That you may be clean from your sin before the Lord. When Jesus died on the cross and he said it was finished, the atonement wasn't finished. He made it possible for forgiveness of sin, but it wasn't done yet. That was the sacrificial dynamic. He's in heaven doing the intercessory dynamic, and now he's in the most holy place doing the atonement dynamic right now. I didn't hear any amen on that. That is powerful. That is powerful. That's what Revelation 14, 6 and 7 come back to. So we have the sacrifice, and appointed to Christ when he would die on the cross. And when you confess your sins and you ask him to come into your life and you repent from your sin, you receive him as Lord and Savior, you are born again and your name is written in the book of heaven. Amen. You're written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. And Jesus will represent you in heaven. And look at the measuring stick for judgment. What is the measuring stick? What's the rule that's going to be used that you're going to be judged against? The law of God. You know what? When I first became a Seventh-day Adventist, I was just a young 19-year-old, 20-year-old guy. Yep. I read myself into the church. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you how it happened. As far as I know, I never met a Seventh-day Adventist until I started attending Sabbath worship services at the Enfield Seventh-day Adventist Company Church. But here's why I bring that up. You see, after I became an Adventist Christian, God put a passion in my life, I wanted to serve him. I wanted to work for him. So in my way of thinking, it seemed like I needed a job that I could do that with. I became a literature evangelist. That's when colporting was very popular, and we had the conference had a literature evangelist director and the whole deal. And I remember going to a pastor's house, and I remember this picture. I was selling the book, Great Controversy, to this pastor. And I say that respectfully. But man, he chewed me out up and down and all around. And I left there like a dog with his tail between his legs. He hated this picture. The law of God, the Ten Commandments, they've been done away with, he told me. It's all by grace. Well, he's got part of that right. It is all by grace. But grace does not do away with the law. Because if you do away with the law, why do you need grace? The Bible doesn't do that. See, the Bible takes the law Jesus magnified the law to magnify his grace. Because when the law comes up, you don't measure up, nor do I, but Jesus does. And if you got Jesus, you've got salvation. You don't have to be worrying about whether he's going to come or not, tonight or tomorrow, or what would happen to us. We don't have to worry. You can rest in Jesus. You can have peace in Jesus. And only in Jesus. You can't find it anywhere else. It doesn't exist outside of Jesus. But that's a great picture. Although in the investigative judgment, you're not there. We have such a high priest who's seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty, of the majesty in the heavens. He is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. This is something God does, not you. You cannot add one iota to what God has done for you and for me. The second angel, here it is. Another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city. Because she has made all nations drink of the wine and the wrath of her fornication. What is the dynamic behind this? What is the deal with this angel? This is pretty tough on this Babylon city. What's Babylon mean? Confusion. You know what comes before Babylon? The Tower of Babel. In Genesis chapter 11, do you know what happens? With confusion. God says, let's go down and confuse their languages. Let's spread them out. Why? What's the dynamic behind it? Don't miss this, because it's really what the spiritual dynamic of these angels is all about. Lack of belief, lack of trust. It was salvation by human effort. And anything that is salvation by human effort is taking God's prerogative. It's what? It just fits. You're going to fail. You cannot save you. And the Tower of Babel was the idea that they could build this city, that they could save themselves, and it can't happen. And so the angel comes and he says, that great city of Babylon has fallen, because it's a system built on. Here it is. It's a system built on human effort to save yourselves. How do I know that? Because of what the third angel says. It's what the underlying pattern of these three angels is, the idea that you are saved by the righteousness of Christ and justified by faith through grace. That is what it's all about. These are the common two threads that weave through all these three angels' messages. It's the good news, then the bad news. But underneath it all, it's the concept of salvation by human effort. Now, we Christians are not foreign to that. Are we? We're not foreign to that. There is a religious, political system in Christendom that promotes salvation by works. Am I right? You can do certain things, say certain things, do penance. I grew up in this church, in the Roman church. And there are beautiful people in the church. Beautiful, committed Christians in the church. And God will judge them righteously, amen? But I'm talking about the system, not about the people. Okay? And the system says, we can save you. We are the vicar of Christ. We can save you. You haven't been a faithful person, a faithful member of the church. You can have last rites and you can be saved. That's anything that takes the prerogative of God for salvation of your life is blasphemy. Because it's a place where only God can be there. Only God can do it. I'm getting riled up. I know. If this doesn't get you riled up, what will? But that's what this symbolized. This symbolized man's power to save himself. Babylon the great has fallen, has fallen. It's wrong. It's wrong to think that you can do something to merit favor with God. The only merit you have with God is through Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, where do works come in? Works come in as a result of my relationship with Him. I want to follow Him. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love's got to be the motivating factor. Not to earn anything. It's a response. Amen? That's why we're here today. We're responding to God's great sacrifice in Christ on Calvary to save us. We want to follow Him. We want to obey Him. Please, do not get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. There are wonderful Christians out there who don't know this. Will they be saved? I hope so. Amen? But I hope when they hear the message, when they hear the truth, that they will be honest with themselves and honest with God. But I know when I heard that, when that pastor told me, forget about the Sabbath day, forget about the Ten Commandments, man, I'll tell you, I went back to my Bible. I was on my knees praying because I had given my life for this. And subsequently, I went to college and became a minister. Doesn't God work good? God works miracles in our lives. Amen? The third angel. We got to get to the third angel. It's powerful. We're not going to read everything about the third angel, but the substance. And I want you to catch what the third angel is saying, because it's just augmenting the second angel. Then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast, he goes back to worship now. What does Revelation, the first angel says? Worship him who what? Created the heavens and the earth, which is an allusion to the commandments of God in general, and specifically to what? The fourth commandment, the creator God. Because the Sabbath is a memorial of creation. That's biblical truth. Oh, okay. Time out. Take it easy. Take it easy. So he says here, if anyone worships the beast. Now, the beast is this religious, geopolitical, this big power with a system of salvation by works. That's what this beast is. Okay? It's the system. Amen? And they're worshiping themselves. And there's nothing worse than a couple of people worshiping themselves than millions of people worshiping themselves. But see, the call is not to glorify yourself. The call is to glorify God. It's not to worship self or anything else. It's to worship Him and nothing else. And you notice the key is worship. What's the key? Worship. Worship is what you love, who you love, what you do, what you pattern your life. What are you worshiping? That's why Jesus has to be center of this worship. It's got to be center. We've got to come to church and see Jesus. Amen? So if anyone worships the beast and his image, there's an image to the beast now. And I want to talk about that in a second. But the beast and his image. And so if you worship the beast and his image and he receive his mark on his forehead or on his hand. Whoops. He himself shall also drink of the wine of wrath of God. Why such a terrible warning? Why such a terrible, terrible warning? It's a terrible warning. And it's right after the good news. You got great news and you got bad news. Real bad news. There's no other way. God has no other way to save you but through Jesus. It's the way He has made. You have nothing to say about it except yes or no. It's a fact outside of you, beyond you. It's something that was ordained before time began. Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. And so if we worship the beast and his image, I'll clarify that in a moment, we receive the judgment of God on us. And that's eternal death. Serious. God does not want anyone to... The angels, the lake of fire, eternal death, was made for the angels and his followers. God doesn't want anyone to go in the lake of fire. He doesn't want that. But if you won't listen, if you won't hear, you won't heed the warning, if you will continue to worship yourself, there's just no other way. God forbid that we would not heed this tremendous warning. Ellen White says this in the book Great Controversy, page 445. She says this, and you can read this on your own. She says this about the beast in the image. Says, when the leading churches of the United States, uniting upon such points of doctrine as are held by them in common, shall influence the state to enforce their decrees and to sustain their institutions, Protestant America will have formed an image of Roman hierarchy, and the infliction of civil penalties upon dissenters will inevitably result. Ouch. But in every act of enforcing a religious duty by secular power, see, this is really history repeating itself. Who crucified Jesus? Was it the Jewish nation? Well, they put the Romans up to it, but the state got involved and crucified Jesus. Not the Jewish. The Jewish called for it. They were equally as guilty, don't get me wrong. But it was through the state acts. It was a joining of both of them to enforce it. Same thing's going to happen. History repeats itself. But in every act of enforcing, I didn't remember where I left off, so I'll start from the beginning. But in every act of enforcing a religious duty by secular power, their churches would themselves form an image to the beast. Now hear me out. I want this to be very clear. We have great Christians in other churches. We have a remnant in other churches. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is the remnant church, but there are some people in the remnant church who are not part of the remnant. Right? Don't be afraid of using the term remnant as long as we do it humbly. We're afraid of that word because it tends to be proud and haughty, better than somebody else. No, 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 no. Humbly. We say it. And there's a remnant outside the church in other churches. They're part of the remnant. They're part of it. Now here's it. I say, and I believe this is what Ellen White is saying here. We want to have fellowship with all Christians, all people everywhere. Amen. However, when the time comes, when the image is being formed in to the beast, in enforcing religious duty using secular power, that's when we have to withdraw ourselves. That's when we have to say, we've got to draw the line. We cannot be part of worshiping the beast. By the way, who gives the beast all its power? The dragon, Revelation 13, Revelation, Satan! Serious. So have I made myself clear about this? The image deal? Amen? I mean, it's very important because at Merrimack Valley, we want to be inclusive and we want to be brothers and sisters with every walks of life. We're an eclectic. Look at all the backgrounds we have. Look at all the nations and ethnic groups we have here. Amen? But there'll be a time. We cannot forget there'll be a time. Well, we'll have to say, I can't help in that cause. Amen? But that time is not yet. It could happen soon, yes. Even at the door, so to speak. But it's still open. Doors of probation are wide open still. The gospel message needs to go forward. Amen? I want to close with this. You remember the story in Daniel chapter 3? Open your Bibles, please, to Daniel chapter 3. I told you this was a deep sermon. How many of you seen Jesus Christ today? How many seen Him working today? Amen? See, it's the beast is all about salvation by human effort. The gospel is all about salvation by Christ's righteousness, by grace. Doesn't do away with the law and good works, nothing like that. We do that because we are saved. Amen? Because the Spirit is working in us. He's changing us. Any good thing we do is because God has done it in us and through us. Amen? So these guys, these servants, these friends of Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Remember them? You know, this is an important story because it's not going to be easy going through the time of trouble. Right now, things are good. And we ought to seize it now. Opportunities are set before us. And we don't know when the door is going to shut. We don't know. Now, where's the book of Daniel? Okay, I got it. Verse 17. Listen, this is important now. Turn to chapter 3, verse 17. Nebuchadnezzar built the golden image. They were going to parade the golden image down the streets. And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were to worship the image. And if anyone didn't worship the image, worship again. It's worship. Worshiping what? Worshiping who? If it's not Jesus, then it's false worship. So these guys knew this. And so Nebuchadnezzar said, get the furnace, heat it up 10 times hotter, and throw them in. Because it is true, you didn't bow down and worship the image when the image came by. And it was true. They could not bow down and worship. They will not bow down and worship. You are a man, Nebuchadnezzar. We worship only God in heaven. It took guts to say that. Verse 17, she said, so they respond to him. They said, if that is the case, our God, if you throw us in the fire, okay, go ahead. But if our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, God can deliver us. And He will deliver us from your hand, O king, one way or another. Now check out what they say, verse 8. But if not. If we die, we're still not going to worship you. Because they said, if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods. No power has the right to claim God's power on planet Earth. No power has that right. That's blasphemy. But if not, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. This is a clarion call. The three angels' message is to be right with God in your worship and salvation in Christ Jesus, worshiping Him and Him alone. You cannot do anything to save yourself. You can only be saved by the righteousness and grace of Christ. Do you have Him? I asked you earlier today that important question. A third of you weren't sure. Well, why don't you get sure right now? Why don't you be sure right now? Why don't you receive Jesus right now? Wherever you are, if you want to receive Jesus, just stand right where you are. You want to say, Jesus, come into my life? Not asking those who've already committed to Christ. I'm asking those who've never publicly said, Jesus, come into my life. You never told people all around here in Merrimack Valley that you're a Christian. You want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Would you stand where you are? There's got to be somebody. Will you stand? Could you play some music? I didn't tell her I was going to do this. I didn't know I was going to do this. But where else? This is a great place to do that. Is something soft, anything? Your favorite song, Marianne? You mean there's nobody here today? Every single person here today, you have given your heart to Jesus and you are saved by grace. Some of you didn't raise your hand earlier. Maybe that's because you were just a little concerned. Nobody here who would like to stand and tell everybody that you want Jesus to be your Savior? Anybody here? Anyone who hasn't, I haven't done that, that'll be next. I want to give you an opportunity. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, we're not going to worship your golden image. We're not going to worship you, O King. It represented worshiping man stuff. Anybody here today would like to stand where you are? Just right where you are, just stand. I suspect there are a lot of you here today would like to say, Jesus, I want to give my life anew to you. I want to worship you and only you. I want to trust in you and only you. Because you are the great God and Redeemer of my soul. The captain of my ship. And I want to live for you. If that's true for you, would you please stand? Yep, just stand. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God. And the faith of Jesus. Here they are. Good news, bad news, good news. Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for Jesus. You emptied the treasury of heaven. Help us to be reminded that our allegiance is to Him first. And foremost and best. We're sorry. Oh God, we are sorry. When we have not done that. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.